This is Retire Ready, where we break down retirement planning and make it easy to understand so you can live your golden years to the fullest. If you're tired of feeling overwhelmed by retirement planning or unsure about where to start, you've come to the right place. Planning your retirement starts now with your host, Kyle Hammerschmidt, founder of Mocan Wealth, and co-host, Colin Hayes.
What is going on, everyone? Welcome to the Retire Ready podcast. My name is Colin. I'm here with Kyle. Kyle, how are you doing?
Doing well. Looking forward to this podcast. Even looking more forward to going on a little vacation with the wife here in a couple days. We're heading down to Rosemary Beach in Florida. First time getting away from the kids here for a few days. So definitely looking forward to that and getting this podcast done before I head out of town for a few days.
Yeah, well, nothing more exciting to talk about before you go on vacation than tax planning.
Yeah, it's literally like the deadline's coming up in a couple days. So yeah, it's kind of time sensitive for some people here. So let's dive in.
Yeah, in our last episode, we talked that potentially one of the problems or one of your biggest problems that you might have in retirement or reaching retirement is the IRS. And so tax planning can maybe be a way to be smart about, you know, that IRS being the minority shareholder in your retirement. So, what about tax planning? Why is it critical?
Yep. So I'm talking to you, pre-retirees. So listen in. Tax planning is one of the most critical parts of your retirement, but really it's, this aspect is often underappreciated by most, pre-retirees. And unfortunately, it's really underappreciated by their financial advisors. They kind of just ignore tax planning. That's a great way to leave a lot of dollars on the table. I always just kind of summarize it in like this. The lack of tax planning is ultimately the difference between the taxes you could have paid versus the taxes you paid. There are two systems of taxation, one for the informed and one for the uninformed. With a comprehensive approach, the objective is to minimize your taxes paid over your lifetime. I don't know if most people understand this, but the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act that passed in 2019 is set to expire 12/31 of 2025. And we'll do another podcast here in the future talking about what those future tax rates will sunset to. But I really want to dive into how to build that tax efficient retirement plan.
Yeah. And with that tax efficient retirement plan, we're going to go through six different steps that need to be in place to kind of get on the right path for your tax efficient retirement plan. So the first one here is to master your provisional income. Kyle, what does that mean? What is provisional income?
So let's just do like a 30,000 foot view here as we're going through these steps. So we'll kind of take the keep it simple approach. Provisional income is calculated, and this is really you're going to kind of figure out what portion of your Social Security can potentially be taxable. So each taxpayer can calculate their provisional income by really combining a bunch of different sources of income in retirement. We're not talking about earned income as far as like, you know, the earnings tests. That's completely different. We're talking about taxes on your benefits. It's called provisional income. So we're going to look at it from an annual basis. Will you have any non-taxable interest in retirement? A great example of non-taxable interest would be muni bonds. You have muni bonds in a taxable brokerage account that is tax-free income to you, and it will show up as non-taxable interest on your tax return. However, that annual amount will be part of your provisional income and could potentially make your Social Security more taxable. So that's the big one to look out for. A majority of you that are listening, you're watching this, you're going to put zero. The next category is going to be ordinary income. What sources of income are you going to have in retirement that would be taxed at ordinary income rates? A great example of this would be if you're going to work and you're going to claim. Whatever earned income you're going to bring in from that job, you're going to want to put in as an annual number. What else? A majority of your money is saved where? Tax-deferred accounts, IRAs, 401ks, 403bs, TSPs, deferred comp. You had some set of preset number. Hey, I was going to take out $20,000, $30,000, $40,000 a year for my IRA. That's what you would put in there. So you're going to add those two together. The next category is going to be dividends and capital gains. On an annual basis, how much dividends and capital gains are you going to be showing when you're claiming your Social Security? Add that up. And then last, you're going to add in half of your annual Social Security. what's half of your Social Security. If you're single, example would be if it was $30,000 a year, you would put in $15,000. If you're married and you, when you decide to claim it, it's like $60,000 a year, you would add in $30,000. Add all those different sources of income up. That's going to create your total provisional income. Okay. And then we're going to show you a table here. But the idea is if you're over $44,000 of provisional income married when you added that up, the amount of Social Security subject to tax would be up to 85%. Then it breaks to 50% and then it breaks to 0%. But you just need to get a good idea of your provisional income. Add that up and see where you're at. That's kind of step number one.
And then step number two is categorizing your money by tax impact. So there's three different buckets or three different funnels where your money could flow into depending on tax impact. So what are those three things?
So three buckets. We call them the three funnels. We're going to use your funnels eventually, to fill up buckets, but we're talking about tax funnels. Everyone's heard of the word diversification, but now we're going to diversify how your money's taxed. How does it grow? So it's diversify it. The first one would be pre-tax. This is where majority of your money is. Contributions are made with pre-tax dollars. Again, we're talking 401ks, 403bs, IRAs, pensions. You're getting the tax break up front with pre-tax dollars. You're taking the deduction today. In the future, when you show it or spend it in retirement and it shows up on your tax return, those distributions from those accounts will be taxed as ordinary income. One thing to keep in mind, we just walked through that provisional income calculation. Anything you take from those accounts could potentially cause your Social Security to be taxed more. It could cause it to be worth less. So that's kind of just tax funnel number one. Again, majority of you have your retirement savings there. Then we're going to talk about post-tax. Contributions are made with after-tax dollars. And for retirement purposes, we're going to talk about brokerage accounts. Depending on how you have this money invested, like, you know, we've seen a lot of crazy stuff on like what type of investments are in these accounts. The growth in the account may or may not be taxable. For instance, there could be short-term gains, long-term gains, short-term losses, long-term losses. But depending on how that's shown in there, you're going to be taxed at long-term, short-term rates. And it could potentially cause your Social Security to become more taxable back to that provisional income equation. And then the last bucket, we can call it taxed advantaged. You're basically, contributions are made with after-tax dollars. We're going to be specifically talking about Roth plans, whether it's Roth 401ks or Roth IRAs, as far as retirement goes. And distributions from these accounts are tax-free. They won't show up on your tax returns. And the big one, as you learn from step number one, is it's not part of provisional income, so it won't make your Social Security more taxable. So those are the three categories.
And then from those three categories, moving on to step number three, is there's an order of withdrawals that can happen that can be more tax efficient versus other orders of withdrawal. So what about order of withdrawal strategy goals can people keep in mind?
Yeah, so I just basically sum it up as you're going to have, you have an engine, you've saved some money in those funnels we just talked about, right? You got your tax deferred, your taxable, or your tax advantage. Everybody's going to have a Social Security, and some of you have pension, real estate, cash, other investments. The order of withdrawals is kind of, it's like this. You got, what horse are you riding first? You know, what's the best way to show income from all those different funnels on your tax return every single year? Are you just going to pull it from one? Or are you going to have multiple sources? I always tell everyone, every specific household is different. You all have different amounts of money saved. You have a different amounts of money, a lifestyle you want to live and spending capacity. So an order of withdrawal strategy basically says for you to net your income and pay the least amount of taxes and sell the least amount of shares, here's the order of how you should take out from your accounts to solve for your income in retirement. Why would you put some withdrawal strategies in place? So you can maximize the amount of money you can spend in retirement. Some of my listeners or anyone who's watching this, they might want to retire at 60 or 65 or 64 and spend more of their savings or spend more of their first 5 to 10 years. Okay. So they're going to ramp up their non-essential spending. Number two is you could receive a higher lifetime after-tax income. Your goal from those first two steps is, hey, if I can figure this out, pay a little bit less in taxes, but keep more of my Social Security, it will allow me to spend more of my money net after tax. Number three is it will just add on some longevity years to your portfolio. Just think about this. the number one fear of pre-retirees and baby boomers is running out of money. So the best way to add longevity onto your portfolio, taking out how it's invested, is just making sure that you have tax diversification. You understand, like, okay, if the markets go down, it might make sense to pivot and take money from the Roth or my taxable account so I don't have to sell as many shares. So it's just being able to kind of change your order of how you show your income. Number four, we're talking about, why would you do order of withdrawal strategies? Because you do not want to voluntarily give Uncle Sam more money back. So reduce the taxes you paid over the course of your retirement. Number five, eliminate or reduce taxes on your Social Security from being taxed, like we talked about. And number six, reduce Medicare premiums. Basically, the Medicare is going to do a two-year look back at your income. So a good way to reduce your Medicare premiums, if you're kind of a higher income earner or you're going to be spending a lot of money in retirement, is to maybe show a lot of income up front while you're still working before you go on your Social Security, so you can lock into that lowest Medicare premium.
Yeah. And speaking of taxes, as you know, in the States, we're marginal. And so we have tax brackets, but we also have a way to have tax bracket capacity, meaning can you fill up your tax brackets currently, potentially. And so on the screen, if you're listening or watching this podcast, I'll throw up the tax brackets here as of 2023. I'll also put in 2024 on the screen as well. But how can you measure your tax bracket capacity? And like, what does that allow you to do, understanding your tax bracket capacity?
Yes. So let's understand what we're trying to talk to you about right now is like the keep it simple approach. This isn't like advice. This isn't the way to do it. We're just trying to get the ball rolling because a lot of people aren't doing tax planning and strategies. So I always say, all right, here's some homework. Go look at your tax return from 2023, 2022. Start doing 2024 and putting some numbers out. Go look at the tax brackets if you're single or if you're married or head of household. And where are you at? Like, where's your adjusted gross income? And if you're in the 22% bracket and you're at, you know, $150,000, all this is saying is go look and measure how much room you have in your current tax bracket before you would bump up into the next one. So that example I gave you, that married filing jointly, let's just say they're at 150. They have about $50,000 of room to potentially do some stuff before they would go up into the 24% bracket. So like, step number four is measure your tax bracket capacity. Why you would do that is like, there's challenges with taxes. Do you understand you're in business with Uncle Sam? Do you guys know what that means? It's like you have a minority shareholder with a majority vote on your accounts. Do you know how that will affect you today and in the future? So again, the solution is always just having tax bucket diversification, but a good place to start is measure your tax bracket capacity where you are, and then kind of look over the next 5 years of some potential moves you can make.
Yeah. And before I get to step number five, we plan to do many episodes on these more in depth. Like Kyle said at the beginning, this is like a 30,000 foot view. So if it sounds confusing, we'll have more episodes, and maybe down in the show notes or in the description, you can see more, you're diving into more of these steps more and more down the line. But moving on to number five, we have our, you know, pay now versus pay later. How do we kind of strategize those types of accounts?
Yeah. So the real struggle with tax strategies, tax planning, again, we're not talking about tax prep or tax filing, because that's kind of looking at right now or last year, 2023. Tax planning and tax strategies is looking at the long term. We're looking at the end game. Like, what's the best way to reduce my total taxes I've paid over my lifetime over the next 30 years? Okay. And really what you have to understand is, after some good education, should I start paying some now, which is step five, or should I keep taking the deduction today and pay these bills later? And again, we talk about making assumptions, but like, if you're going to sign up to say, I'm going to pay later, I'll take the deductions today and I'll pay it later, you are going to keep a majority of your money in your 401ks, your 457s, and your 403bs. You'll keep getting deferred. You're going to keep getting like deferred comp and deferring that payout to a later point. You're going to keep a majority of your money in your traditional IRAs. Okay. You're signing up, I will pay taxes later. Yes, it's probably going to be at a lower tax rate, but those distributions, if you go back to your first couple of steps, you know, there's a lot of hidden taxes coming in that you weren't probably prepared for. And then we can talk about advanced strategies. So you're like, hey, I think it actually makes sense to start paying now. The math says over my long term, the best way to pay less taxes over my next 30 years is to start paying some taxes now. So if you're, my advice is if you're going to work maybe another 10, 15, 20 years, you have like a longer time horizon, you could probably do like the slow approach of what we call it. So you could basically do like Roth 401k, funding your Roths. What that means is you got, you know, 10, 20 years. If you put $8,000 in and max it out and do that for 15 years, there's going to be a good chunk of change out there for you to start tapping into. Or you can max your Roth 401k out, you know, $30,000 a year. Do that for 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 years. You might have enough in that bucket to kind of make the difference for tax-free. But for most of you, if you're approaching retirement, you're going to have to do some advanced strategies, which would be like bracket bumping Roth conversions. You did your previous step and you're like, well, we're at the top of the 22. We can't do anything. You might have to go into the next tax bracket to accomplish your goal. You might have to do market timing Roth conversions. Again, market timing Roth conversions is not what it sounds like. It's not saying you're going to predict what the markets are going to do. If you're an investor and you're in equities, you understand you're going to have drawdowns in bad years. So basically, hey, when my portfolio drops X percent, the market's down, I'm going to move some of this tax deferred money over to my tax-free account. So when the next bull market does come, I get some good tax-free growth. That's kind of why you would do that. And there's a lot of benefits. There's disadvantages. You know, you're going to increase your account type diversification. In retirement, you'll be better prepared for bear markets, so you don't have to sell as many shares. You can start spending the Roth. You'll control that provisional income a lot better with that Roth income, and it will prepare you better for tax law changes. So those are some of the benefits. Some of the disadvantages is like there's no strategy could lead to a higher overall tax bill. Like you're just going to wing it. Yeah, I'll try a Roth conversion and see how it goes. Well, I'll put a little bit of money in my Roth and we'll see how it goes. At the end of the day, there has to be a strategy and execution, and you know the math. It could hike your Medicare premiums. Like we said, they look back every 2 years. So you might raise your income too much and now you're going to pay a couple extra $100 per month on your Medicare. The other big one is if you're under 59 and a half and you're listening to this, understand if you're going to do the advanced strategy, you're going to do a Roth conversion of $100,000. You cannot withhold federal or state tax from that. And if you do, you're going to get a 10% penalty on that.
Yeah. And then moving on to number six here, the final step, you know, like you said, Kyle, sometimes like tax filing is looking right now and not into the future, but tax planning, you know, it's ongoing. It's always changing year after year. There's always things that you can be doing. So who should engage in tax planning? Like who falls into this category?
So who should not engage in tax planning? Let's just to say you're living off $100,000 right now. And when you retire, you're going to live off $50,000. Let's just say you've got a bunch of retirement accounts, but you don't need them. And you're just only going to live off Social Security. That could be a potential reason why you would not do tax planning. Or for some reason you have a crystal ball and the current tax system that we're in is going to, you know, it's going to stay as it is for the next 30 years. Who should engage in tax planning is someone who thinks taxes will be higher in the future. I'm not going to guarantee it, but just think about the next 30 years. Tax rates will go up. Tax rates will go down. Tax rates will go up. Your lifestyle will change. So that's who tax planning is for. You might have a lot of room in your tax brackets to do some stuff. If you're really concerned, like if you're a married couple, you know, if one spouse dies, you're going to lose a Social Security check and you're going to switch over from a joint tax filer to a single tax filer. It might make sense to either have a bunch of life insurance coming in or replace that loss of income with Roth. Or you're like, hey, our kids are beneficiaries. We don't want to pass our tax problems on to them so they can inherit a Roth and keep it in there for 10 years tax-free before they take it out and pay no taxes. Or if you truly want to maximize your Social Security, one of the best ways to keep more is to have Roth in the future. And then last is you're sitting here, you did some steps, and you're like, wow, I have a 90% of my money that hasn't been taxed yet. Do I have a tax problem? Okay, so that's who should engage in tax planning.
Yeah, and then from there, like, what are some mistakes that people could make that would can impact their retirement?
Well, man, I can come up with about 40, but let's just say number one is like you're the assumer. You're making the assumptions. Hey, I'll pay less taxes in retirement. Like, how did you come to that solution? To be honest, because the guy that always tells me that, like, why would I do a Roth conversion at 24, but when I retire, I'm in a 12. I go, yes, when you are working, you are in a 24% bracket. I am looking at your tax return. And when you retire, you will be in a 12% bracket. You're assuming doing it that one way for 30 years, your total tax bill would be lower than if you did it these other 25 different ways. And I've almost never ran a plan that for someone who lives 20 to 30 years, plans on spending their money, plans on keeping up with inflation, that meant they'd pay less in taxes. Almost every single time it meant that their federal tax bill would be higher than if they did it a bunch of other different ways. Okay, they were proactive. Another mistake is you're just ignoring how Social Security is taxed. There's a lot of people that I sit down with that we talked to, and they didn't realize it. They knew it was kind of taxed, but not they didn't understand. And I always basically say, like, since the late 80s, this has all been shaped for you. So don't ignore that. Like, how valuable would it be to you if, like, you could put some plans together and strategies where every month you kept an extra $1,000 of your Social Security? You would need less money from your portfolio if you could do that. And that's a game changer. For some of you on the younger end, in your 40s, 50s, you got 10, 20 years before you retire, do not forget about Roth IRAs and Roth 401ks. Number five, you're just going to ignore taxes altogether, right? Well, I don't care. I look at my pie charts. Or like the person I'm paying, they ignore it. So it must not be that important. You're focusing on the return on your money, not the return of it. For a lot of you, this money you have, you've saved it. It's your money, hard-earned growth. You've had some great markets, some bad markets. And now it's like, hey, I got my $500,000, my $4 million portfolio. And we're not going to put any time or thought into it. We're just going to wing it. So don't lose sight on the return of your money. And then the last one, which we talked about a lot, is just you're going to take money from your accounts in the wrong order. So I would say those are probably the top six mistakes that we just don't want to blatantly ignore.
Yeah. And if you feel like you're listening to this right now or watching this, and you're like, that might be me. I feel like I'm in this situation. I'm in one of these categories. I have too much money in tax later accounts, whatever it may be. And you want to connect with us, that'll all be down in the show notes, the description, where you can, you know, get some more information and talk to us. But Kyle, anything else you want to say about this?
Yeah. Just think about all this stuff that we're talking about. We've been seeing it and for years and years and years, and been hearing it from people for years and years and years. So I'm just kind of repurposing what people are telling me and what I'm seeing that's not being done and like not looked at properly. At the end of the day, your retirement planning is very important, and there's a lot of education and hours that have to be involved in ongoing management. It's just not a snapshot in time where you're, hey, I'm going to retire at 65. What does it look like? Look, looks good. Let's pull the trigger, right? You can. But I would definitely, I highly encourage to put a lot more thought into that. So that's kind of where I'm going to leave that one at.
Yeah. Well, Kyle, have a good vacation. Thanks for, you know, sharing your wisdom here today, on some tax efficient retirement planning.
Yeah. Hopefully, next podcast and video, I might be a little darker.
Yeah. Nice little tan.
Yeah. Take cool. care.
Yep. Thanks everyone for listening.
You've been listening to Retire Ready with Kyle Hammerschmidt. Planning your retirement starts now. The word retirement shouldn't scare you. Our passion is to be here to help you navigate every step of the way. We hope you've enjoyed the show. If you did, make sure to like, rate, and review. We'll be back soon. But in the meantime, for more education and information, hit up RetireReadyAcademy.org. And if you're ready to start your retirement planning today, go to our website at MOCANWealth.com. Mocan Wealth Management is a registered investment advisor with the state of Kansas and Missouri and may only transact business with residents of those states or residents of other states where otherwise legally permitted, subject to exemption or exclusion from registration requirements. This communication is not intended as an offer or solicitation to buy, hold, or sell any financial instrument or investment advisory services.